And the story, the miracle that we're going to look at today, though, the story and the everything that happens leading up to the miracle is recorded in all four Gospels. All four Gospels record what is being done. All four Gospels record what happened at this moment. But only Luke records the miracle part of this. It's a unique passage. And it's in Luke chapter 22, beginning in verse 48. It says, "But Jesus said, 'Judas, would you betray the Son of Man with a kiss?' And when the other disciples saw what was about to happen, they exclaimed, 'Lord, should we fight? We brought the swords.'" The reason they said that this is one chapter before, Jesus told them, if you don't have a sword, sell your cloak and buy a sword. Okay, so they said, "We brought our swords." And one of them struck the high priest's slave, slashing off his right ear. But Jesus said, "No more of this." And he touched the man's ear and healed it. Then Jesus spoke to the leading priests, the captains of the temple guard, and the elders who had come to him for him. "Am I some dangerous revolutionary," he asked, "that you come with me with swords and clubs to arrest me? Why didn't you arrest me in the temple? I was there every day, but this is your moment, the time when the power of darkness reigns." This passage of Jesus being arrested and someone cutting off the high priest's servant's ear is recorded in all four of the Gospels. They all record it. But Luke is the only one that records the healing of the man's ear. He's the only one, and he's like, nonchalantly, he's like, "And Jesus picked up the ear and touched him, and it was healed." He doesn't say that he picked up his ear. I added that part. But if you slash off a ear, gravity tells me the ear is on the ground, right? So Jesus had to pick it up, stick it back on there. Maybe he used super glue. I don't know. But either way, it was healed. John pointed out who cut the ear and the priest's servant's name, because John was all about throwing people under the bus, all about it. John 18, verse 10, it says, "Then Simon Peter drew a sword and slashed off the right ear of Malchus, the high priest's slave. But Jesus said to Peter, 'Put your sword back in its sheath. Shall I not drink from the cup of suffering the Father has given me?'" John said it was Peter. He did it. I'm telling you, John treats Peter like John is Peter's little brother. Because a little brother will throw a big brother under the bus any chance they get. Any chance. I've thrown my brother under the bus more than once. Probably I'll do it again at some point in my life. I watch Manasseh. Manasseh has two people that he throws under the bus continuously. It doesn't matter if they did it or not. If we ask who did this, Manasseh immediately says one of their names. Immediately. Immediately. No, I don't believe him, because most of the time it's actually him. It was Peter, though. He's the one that did it. And Jesus says, "No more, no more." Luke 22:51 says, "But Jesus said, 'No more of this.' And he touched the man's ear and healed it." Jesus was saying, "I don't need you to defend me. I don't need you to come to my defense. I could call heaven's armies. They are at my call." Jesus doesn't need defended. He needs obedience. He said, "No more with this. This is enough. If I need a defense, I could call the armies. The sword is never as strong as Jesus' sovereignty. You won't get far trying to advance the kingdom by force. You advance the kingdom by obedience." By healing one of the men who came to arrest Jesus, Jesus was demonstrating that love and understanding that's necessary for the growth of the kingdom. Not physical force. He also was living out John 13:35 when he says, "Your love for one another will prove to the world that you are my disciples." He was showing love for not only Malchus, but also for Peter and protecting him. I like to think that because of this moment in Malchus' life, though, that he became a follower of the way or of Jesus. I mean, this dude's ear was on the ground, and now you can't even tell anything happened to his ear. Jesus erased all evidence of anything happening. The thing that Jesus was doing, he was taking care of the evidence against Peter. Peter cut off his off Malchus' ear, and this, it wasn't like a little slice or a paper cut. He cut it off. This action would lead to an arrest and possible death sentence. It was an executable, he could be executed for it. It was an offense that's what the punishment was. And it was intensified by the fact that Malchus was the high priest's servant. Because the high priest was the one who made sure that things were carried out. And you don't think that he would have pushed that along a little bit faster? Jesus removes the evidence that could destroy Peter. He literally heals the evidence. Because Jesus healed his ear, Malchus says, Peter cut off my... if he goes and he says, Peter cut off my ear, it was laying on the ground. And they're like, did you have a third ear? Because you have two perfect... I mean, your ears don't look bad at all. In fact, they look better than they did. What happened? Jesus scooped it up and healed him. And even if Malchus said that, Jesus picked up my ear off the ground and put it back on and it's healed. That doesn't go with the narrative they're trying to portray right here. That does not fit it. That's not it. It's kind of like in today's society, we got all kinds of narratives that are being put out there. And if it doesn't fit the narrative, they're not going to share that part of it, right? This is that moment. This doesn't fit the narrative of what they've been trying to say. This doesn't fit the narrative of Jesus is a rebel and Jesus is making all this ruckus and he's causing problems and he's coming with us with swords. And it doesn't fit the narrative. And there's a lot of speculation of how this affected Malchus and how what he went on to do. But I like to think that because of this, he began to serve Jesus. He turned to him. Jesus covered Peter's worst moment with a miracle, though. The worst moment that Peter had, Peter's had some pretty big failures, right? But this is one of the worst because he could be executed for it. And Jesus covers it up with a miracle. He heals. He heals what Peter did. I read a story about a man, and it says that he got rear-ended at a stoplight, and the car was totaled in the back, and that is all smashed in, and the insurance told him that it was likely totaled. He takes it to a body shop, and about a week later, they call him and told him it was ready. That's a miracle in itself. And he walks out, and the car looks perfect. Like nothing ever happened. Paint matched, lines matched. You couldn't tell anything had ever been damaged. And he said, if I told someone this car was smashed last week, no one would believe me. There's literally no evidence left. And that's what Jesus did in this moment for Peter. There's no evidence left. He didn't just tell Peter, I forgive you. He repaired the damage that Peter caused. He removed the evidence that it could have destroyed him. Jesus doesn't just forgive your sword moments. He heals what your sword moment damaged. Grace doesn't just forgive. Grace repairs what sin breaks. Grace doesn't just wipe the sin away. It restores what the sin damaged. It's about more. It's about more. John 18:10 says that Simon Peter drew a sword and slashed off the right ear of Malchus, the high priest's slave. And most people, when you think about this, and you think about the ear, you think about hearing, right? But that's not the main importance of the ear. That's not the most crucial role of the ear. Doctors, nurses, scientists will tell you that balance is the primary function of the ear. So if you got bigger ears, you need more balance. Some of y'all get that later. It's okay. Jesus picks up that ear, though, and he places it back on Malchus and heals him. He heals him right there. It wasn't a matter of maybe I should do this. It wasn't a matter of, he's coming to arrest me. I don't want to help him. It was a matter of taking care of a situation. There can be a dangerous imbalance when Christ's kingdom is advanced by physical force. The kingdom of Christ should be advanced through love and truth, showing compassion and making faith grow. Jesus was showing compassion. He was increasing faith in all that were present and showing that grace. I mean, this guy came to arrest him. By all accounts, Malchus was an enemy to Christ. But Jesus was practicing what he preached in Matthew 5:44 when he says, "But I say, love your enemies. Pray for those who persecute you." He could have walked away. Peter cut off Malchus' ear, and it could have been the end of the story. The guy goes back. The high priest sees it. They've already got Jesus. What's going and getting Peter now? We'll hang him on the cross right next to Jesus. It was a punishable. It was the offense was punishable by death. But Jesus says, "Let me fix that balance. You came to arrest me, but I'm still going to show you love. You came to harm me. You came to hurt me. You came to put to damage my reputation, but I'm still going to show you love. Not malice, not anger. Put your swords away, boys. This isn't the time." He was showing compassion. He was increasing faith. You don't think that the guys that were there to arrest Jesus were like, "The ear. We know that it was the high priest and his cronies, but there were also Roman soldiers that were involved in this. You don't think they saw that and said, that ear was on the ground? They went back and talked about it. The ear was on the ground, and then Jesus picked it up and touched his head, and it was back. He didn't even have a scar. The blood was moved off of his face, everything. Faith was increased. There is no doubt in my mind that more people came to Christ that way, came to Christ, came to believe that he was who he said he was in that moment than would have came to him if Peter would have just cut off the ear and nothing happened. Maybe he was just what they said he was. Someone who just wanted to start rebellion. Someone who just wanted to start problems. Maybe he was who he said he was. But Jesus says, "No. No, I'm going to show you love today." Peter, I'm taking care of this so you don't regret it. Malchus is going to go home and he's going to tell his family. And they're all going to not be able to believe it because it's a miracle. But nobody says, "My ear was cut off and now look, it's here." Who makes that story up? A psychopath. They believed him. They said, "There must be something to this." Those Roman soldiers, it wasn't just one of them telling the story. All of them were telling the story. If one guy tells me it, I don't know. But if three or four tell me, I'm going to be like, maybe so. Maybe that happened. There has to be more to this. Maybe you're here today and you have a moment you regret. You have something you did. You have evidence against you. Jesus still heals the evidence. Maybe sin didn't just stain you. It broke something inside of you. It damaged your identity. It disrupted balance. It ruined trust. It scarred your heart. Jesus can fix that. At the cross, Jesus didn't just forgive your sword moment. He didn't just forgive your sin moment. He healed what your sword moment, your sin moment damaged. He healed what sin damaged. He heals what sin did to you. He restores what sin broke. He restores what was lost. He rebuilds what was broken. He covered what could have convicted you. He restored balance when imbalance took over. This is the last miracle before the cross. It's not the last miracle we're going to talk about. It's the last miracle that Jesus performed before the cross. This is it. Right before the cross, he heals a man. Right before the cross, he picks an ear up off the ground and sticks it back to the guy's head. No scars. He is literally getting ready to go to the cross. He knows what he's doing. He tells him, "Let me take this cup of sorrow." But on my way, I'm going to heal a guy that came to arrest me. Because I'm going to show you what loving your enemies really is about. Miracle before the cross, and he heals an ear. He heals hearing. He restores balance. He covers Peter. He shows love to an enemy. And this is why we advance the kingdom, not by force, but by love. Not by panic, but by obedience. Not by the sword, but by surrender. He doesn't just want to get you to heaven. He wants to restore your balance here. Ask everyone that would to stand to your feet. Maybe you're here and you're living in a moment of regret. Maybe something that happened in your past and you've been walking around with that regret and that feeling and maybe it's just become an issue, it's become a problem, it's become bigger than you. You say, "I'm tired of walking around with this guilt. I need God to restore me." I want to invite you to come. Maybe you're not where you need to be with God. Maybe you don't know him as your personal Lord and Savior. And today you want to get right with him. I want to invite you to come. I want to pray with you. I want to believe with you. There are things that hang on to us sometimes. There are things that we say and things that we do. And we can allow regret to set in. And it becomes something bigger than it should. Today you can give it to Jesus. Maybe there's something in your life, though, that you're like Malchus. Somebody hurt you. In a moment of anger, in a moment of whatever, and you were hurt, and you say, I need Jesus to heal me of this hurt. I want to invite you to come. It's a mental thing. It's someone hurt you physically. Someone hurt you. And you've carried on this anger and you've carried around this hurt and this bitterness. And today you say, "I'm ready to let that go. I'm ready to be healed." I want to invite you to come. I want to pray with you. I know that the root of bitterness is one of the hardest things to get rid of. But I can tell you that it's one of the most freeing things that you'll get rid of. If you're carrying that, I want to invite you to come. I want to pray with you. Maybe you just got something going on that you need God to heal. And you say, "I want him to heal me today. I want want to invite you to come. I want to pray with you. I want to believe with you. Lord, I just thank you right now. I thank you right now. I thank you for the ones that responded. Lord, I just pray that you begin to move and you begin to touch. Lord, I pray, I know that there are ones that need to be here this morning. And Lord, I just pray that you just begin to touch them even now, right where they are, God. That you begin to heal the broken. Lord, we just thank you and we praise you today. If you feel led to come and pray around this altar, feel free to do so. If you feel led to come and pray for the ones that are here, feel